We've been in a sermon series on necessary godly practices. And I want to be careful as I preach the sermon today that I do not want to turn this sermon into something where I'm twisting your arm, where I'm trying to make you do something that you don't want to do. Because this sermon is for Christians. This sermon is for people that want to live a godly life, and they want to be the person that God called them to be. So they're talking to God every day, and they're reading His Word, and they're listening to Him, and they are open to what God wants them to do. So I mention all that because when I preach the topic today, worshiping weekly with your spiritual family, this topic strikes a nerve. This topic makes people upset. It makes them nervous. And some people, once they see the topic, they will turn me right off. And I've experienced it firsthand. And the reason that it's so touchy with so many people is because there's people that don't attend church and they've had an experience in the church, a bad experience, and because of this experience, they say, I will never attend church anymore. So I think part of the problem is, and maybe it's a misunderstanding of the church. So people have unrealistic expectations, and sometimes that comes from Christians that have good intentions, but they're telling people how the church is, and it kind of gives a wrong impression. So before we get into some good things about the church today, let me clear things up a little bit and give you some things that are some nevers about the church. These are some things that are never true of the church, okay? The church will never solve all your problems. Now, sometimes the church is presented as a magic pill. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever difficulty you're facing, someone says, just go to church and it'll all get better. And so a person goes to church and they go for a few weeks. They might even go for a year. And then they'll say, didn't help. Didn't do anything for me. You'll never find perfect people in a church. Now, it's not going to take you long when you go into a church to find out that the people in that church have faults, including the preacher. If you look hard enough, you're going to find faults there. So occasionally, you're going to run into somebody in a church that isn't kind. You may run into somebody in a church that doesn't treat you well. In almost in every single church, almost every single church, there's somebody that thinks they're better than everybody else. You will never find a congregation where everybody is humble. Never going to find it. So, not everyone, and this is a key thing to remember, not everybody in the church is a Christian. Just remember that, and it'll be a lot easier when you think about the church. Every Christian is different. Some Christians are spiritually mature. Some Christians are spiritually immature. But in every church, you will find some faithful Christians if it's a legitimate church. So don't expect sinlessness. Now here's another one. You will never be saved by going to church. There's an idea going around that if you want to go to heaven, all you have to do is just go to church. Well, not everybody in a congregation is saved and is going to heaven. So being an official member of the church, becoming a regular attender, does not give you extra heavenly rewards. When you walk into church, God doesn't have an attendance book up there, and He's not putting a star on your crown for every Sunday that you're there. Living for Jesus is what a Christian does, and they do it all the time, not just on Sunday. You'll never get rich by attending a church. Now, there's a lot of reasons why people attend worship. Sometimes there's a great financial need, and some people start attending hoping that if I go to church, God's going to bless me financially. Or maybe if I go to church, somebody's going to help me financially. And there are generous people in the church, and at times they will help you out. But there's no guarantee for financial success if you go to church. So if you're looking for financial riches, the church is not the place to go. Now this next one here is something to really consider now. You'll never like everything in a church. I'm a minister and have been a minister for many years, and every single church I've been at, I have not liked everything. I've not always agreed with everything that's happened in a church. Some things you're going to like better than others. You may say, well, I like the music. I don't always like the sermon as much. Or I like the sermons, but I don't like the music. Or I don't care for this program. Or that's a great idea. Or I wish they wouldn't do this. You'll never find it exactly the way you like it. But think about this. Everywhere you go, you never find it exactly the way you like it. And it's going to be the same in a church. And the church, one more, the church will never be a better version of the world. The modern church is trying to match the world. It strives to have the same standards as corporations. So some people expect when they go into a worship service, they expect it to be like a movie theater. They expect the band to be like a professional band concert in the church, and they expect the church, the inside of a church, to look like the inside of a mall. Well, the church is not a better version of the world. But we are used to substitutes, aren't we? We've got a lot of substitutes right now going on. So if you don't like beef, you can get the Impossible Burger. Have you ever got one of those? Not me. I'm not getting. You like them? Okay. I never have got one before. I just stick with regular beef. But if some people like the Impossible ones, I think I'm just sticking with. So you're trying to avoid bacon? You can get turkey bacon. Never had turkey bacon before. It's a substitute there. Cutting back on sugar, get sugar substitute. And I use a lot of sugar substitute. That's what I do. It's just because I'm trying to save calories. So is a substitute always as good as the original? Okay, so I'll give you a good example here. Sweet tea. I love sweet tea. And the sweeter, the better. I love good sweet tea. And if I could, I would drink gallons of it. I used to drink tons of sweet tea. Now the problem is, I'm trying to watch my weight. I'm trying to watch my calories. So I do not drink that much sweet tea because it's the equivalent of a dessert every time you drink some good sweet tea. Now you're probably thinking, just get unsweet and put the sugar substitute in there, right? Mix it all together, same thing. Nope. You can never replace good sweet tea. Substitutes don't always work. And there's a lot of substitutes in this world, but you're never going to find a substitute for the church. There are aspects of the church that you will never find anywhere else in the world. How do I know this? Because the church is divine. It's supernatural. It was predicted thousands of years before it came into being. When Jesus came to our world, he said the church belonged to him. And he was predicting that the church would come in Matthew 16, 18. He said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus started building his church with the disciples. And the church began with a great supernatural event on the day of Pentecost. The 12 apostles were empowered by supernatural power. And the good news of Jesus was preached. The life, the death, the resurrection was preached. And the people heard the message. And they were so cut to the heart. They stopped Peter right in the middle of his sermon. And they said, "What do we do? How do we respond?" In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the forgiveness of sin." 3,000 people responded that day, and they believed in the Lord, and they turned from their sin, and they were immersed. And the church was born. So what did the new Christians do after they accepted Jesus? After they found forgiveness of sin, after they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they started meeting together. And that's why I'm going to call this group in the book of Acts crazy Christians, because they kept spending time together. Listen to this description. This is from Acts chapter 2, verses 44 through 47. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These crazy Christians kept getting together, and they kept meeting, and their number grew to 5,000 people in Acts chapter 4. The religious establishment did not like all these Christians meeting. So two of the leaders, Peter and John, were arrested. And what did the church do? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, it says, the church gathered together and raised their voices together in prayer. In that same chapter, Acts 4 and verse 32, we get another picture of the church. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. God's Spirit was working in the church, and there was unity. And these believers, on their own, there was no command that they do this, on their own, they started selling their possessions to help people in need. The book of Acts is basically a history of the first church. And as you read on, you'll see that there was a great persecution that broke out against the church, and so the church was scattered. But everywhere the Christians went, they started meeting together, and they started telling people about Jesus, and more Christians came, and more churches formed. I was thinking churches were popping up faster than Dollar Generals. They were just popping up everywhere. So let me pause for a second here and just think about this. What was not in these early churches? Here's what they didn't have, okay? They didn't have state-of-the-art facilities. They didn't have sound systems. They didn't have computers. They didn't have worship bands. They didn't have children programming. And here's a big one now. They did not have coffee on Sundays. No. They didn't have seeker services. They did not have net-making classes for fishermen's wives. They didn't have anything like that. They didn't even have, and this is another big thing, they didn't even have church buildings. Think about all the emphasis that we put on a church building today. Someone says, well, I won't go to church, but I want to go to a nice new building. It has to be the best. Well, the church was never a building, and it still isn't. The building is just the place where the church meets. So don't rule out a church because it's an old building. Church is a divine, supernatural organism. God is using, it's basically God using people for His purpose. So we jump ahead in the history of the church in Acts. And the church continued to grow and multiply. In Acts chapter 20, now this is like 20 years later, the Apostle Paul worships with the church. If you turn there with me, Acts chapter 20, and if you look at verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people because he intended to leave the next day. He kept talking until midnight. Now, after all of these years, the Christians were still meeting, and they were meeting every first day of the week. That was Sunday. And what was the central purpose of their meeting? The breaking of bread. That's communion. That's what we do today. Now, it doesn't really sound that profound to us, but when we stop and think about what happened in this culture, first of all, they didn't have anything like weekends. Like we have a weekend off or we have a Sunday. They didn't have anything like that. These were just people that worked. And the Jews reckoned time differently than we do now. So when it says Sunday, that would be our equivalent to Saturday night. The new day started in the evening. So it would be our Saturday night, and that Sunday would continue all the way until our Sunday night. Okay, so that was, and so these people, these Christians, they worked hard all day, and then after they worked, they gathered together on Saturday night, or what we call Sunday, and they would worship. And if you start figuring, if you read all between the lines, Paul spoke till midnight, if you look at it all, you figure out that their worship service lasted 6 to 8 hours. And Paul kept on speaking until midnight. Why were these Christians getting together like this? Well, they were experiencing something that you cannot find in the world. There's two experiences I want to talk about today that you'll get in the church that you cannot find in the world. Number one, you experience God's love in a church. Now, people come to church for different reasons. For some people, a church is like a club of friends. So let me ask, how many of you have ever known a red hatter? You know what I'm talking about with a red hatter? Okay, so red hatter, the little ladies that get together, they dress up, got little outfits, purple. And do we have any red hatters here today? Okay, we got one back there, right? So red hatters, the purpose of a red hat group is what? To have fun. That is their main purpose. They just get together and they have fun. Red hatters have been very good to me by the way, over the years. So nothing wrong. I think it's good. But if people look at the church that way, that the only time I go to church is to have fun, it works out pretty good. But after a while, you may get bored with this church because it's not as fun anymore. So you're going to go to another church, another club, where it's more fun. But you're missing out on what the church truly is. Because Jesus is the head of the church, and one of the reasons he created the church is so that Christians would love each other. The Apostle Paul describes the church as a body. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he describes the body with many parts. But in verses 25 and 26 of that chapter, he says, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So the church isn't just a group of friends, it is the body of Christ. And when you talk to God every day and you listen to Him, you're going to experience His love. But you will never experience God's love the same way you do than when you spend time with your church family. Well, today, there's something that I'm hearing, and it's becoming more and more common. Someone says, I don't need the church. I have my family. I have my family. My family loves me. And I'm noticing this attitude is becoming more and more common. And the reason I know it is because the biggest occasions in life are no longer being shared with the church. So, for instance, weddings seldom ever take place in church buildings anymore. Funerals seldom ever take place in church buildings because families are doing their own thing. And a lot of times, they don't even include ministers. That way, somebody will say a few words, and that way, nobody is offended by words of Scripture that might be brought up. I've actually heard it. Somebody actually said this. We don't need the church. We have each other as a family. Okay? Well, the reason in the past the church had weddings at a church building, and the reason that they had funerals at a church building wasn't because of the building. It's because that's where the friends were. Because that's where their family was. And they wanted to share together. And meeting at the church was the easiest way to do it because you're already meeting there all the time anyway. And that's what the church does. Christians like to get together. So let me just make a side note here. Those of you that are making wills, you might want to put in your will if you want to have it in the church that you want your funeral in a church, and you want to minister there, because I know cases where a family member was in charge, and that loved one that would have loved to have a funeral service at the church, the family member said, now we're not going to have it at church. So just make sure, I don't think we have to worry about it here, that your plans are covered after you're gone. So we have to also remember this important fact here. Remember this. You may not always have your family. Your family is given to you by God, but your family is really not enough. Okay? Your children one day will grow up, and they're going to have their own lives. And they may or may not care for you. Someone says, well, I'm not worried about that. My spouse will take care of me. Right? That sounds good. Well, what if your spouse has health problems? What if you outlive your spouse? Happens all the time. See, we need a church family. God set it up that way. Acts chapter 6, the early Christians were gathering food and distributing it to widows who were in need. It was a big, major ministry. It was administrated by the deacons. The church was caring for people in its body that did not have anybody. The church is the hands and the feet of Jesus. So whether it's two or three Christians, or whether it's a body that meets, when we are with Christians, we experience God's love in a special way. Now, you know I have a strong family. My family has always been there for me, and they've always supported me, and they've always loved me. And I lean on my family, okay? But wherever I've lived, I've always had a church family. Always had a church family. And it's always important. And so for the last 9 years, you've been my church family. You've been there with me. You've loved me. You've taken care of me. You've encouraged me, and you've supported me. I have learned ever since childhood that I needed a church family in addition to my regular family. See, it's not my family versus the church. It has nothing to do with that. It's my family and the church family. You need both of those two together. They're both important. God put both in your life, and you need those. Now, the early Christians weren't just getting together and eating meals and having fun. I'm sure they were having fun, and we know they were eating meals together. But there's another experience that you'll get in the church that you will never find in the world, and that's number two. You will find spiritual strength in the church. So when the church began, so what did these early Christians do when they gathered together? So we look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. These are the spiritual necessities of every church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They gathered together to hear the word of God from the apostles. And the apostles spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And even when the church was scattered by persecution, the apostles wrote letters to these churches. And today, we're still reading those letters of instruction because they are the timeless, living words of God. Today, when we gather, we hear the word of God. Now, this is not what you get in the world. Today, we have Alexa. Does anybody talk to Alexa? Okay, got Alexa. Alexa can give you lots of information. Or you got Google. Now, I just want to caution you because there's all sorts of information that you get when you talk to your phone, okay? So I'm just going to give you an example today. Here we go. It worked before the service, okay? Who is God?
According to Wikipedia, a deity or god is a supernatural being considered divine or sacred.
Okay. What is communion?
Here's the definition of communion. The sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level.
Okay, so today people are basing their lives and living based on Alexa and Google. Trust me, millions of people are living their lives based on this, okay? So, did you hear Jesus mentioned in there? Did you hear anything about the church? No. But chances are there's probably some young guy, probably about 25 years old, knows a lot about computers. He's the one that's writing all that, okay? And he's giving people information. Some of it's good. I mean, I'll look occasionally and find some good information. If I want to learn how to cook something, they help me out on these things. But I don't use any of these sources for my spiritual information or how to live my life, because my source is Jesus Christ. And he's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. The early Christians devoted themselves to fellowship. This is a word for which means sharing in a common interest. And I talked about this in my first point. This is sharing in things that benefit the whole church. So give you some examples of fellowship here. Singing songs together. Singing songs together is fellowship. Making music in your heart to God. There's something special when you gather with other Christians and you sing together. You just can't experience that when you're by yourself. You can sing. I sing all the time. But there's something special about singing with other Christians. Fellowship includes sharing offerings. That's giving that benefits the body of the Christ. It's something we all share together. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. This is communion. They shared in this in their meetings. Luke said it was the central part of their worship service, to gather and remember the death and the burial, resurrection of our Lord. It's something very powerful about gathering together with Christians and partaking together of the Lord's Supper. That's something that you can't get when you're just by yourself. They devoted themselves to prayer. Now, the first spiritual practice I talked about was talking to God every day. That was the first one. And that's so important. But there's something different when you gather together with Christians to pray. It strengthens you. There is an intensity when you gather with multiple people and you're praying together. It's multiple people praying the same things in agreement before God. Now, the world has a lot of help out there for people. The world has support groups. If you want to lose weight, you can go to a support group that will encourage you with other people. If you're trying to beat some kind of habit of some kind, you can go to a support group, and it will probably be good. But the church is more than just a support group, because our support doesn't come from a group of people, although it's nice to have a group and to be supported by them. Our strength comes from Jesus Christ Himself, who gathers with us when we worship. He's our power, and He is our answer. So the world also has a lot of teams that you can be a part of. You can go to Chick-fil-A and be a part of their team. You can get a job there, you can make friends, and you can get a paycheck. How's the deal? You're a part of a team. The church has been compared to a team, but we're much more than a team because we are the body of Christ. We find our strength in each other when we gather. So, as I read in the Scriptures, I don't see any times when Christians are having to be pressured to be together. No. They did it on their own. They just love the Lord. And they wanted to be with other people that love the Lord. They wanted to worship, and they wanted to be there for each other in good times and in bad times. And it was so important that Christians got together, you could not stop them from getting together. If you tried to stop them, they just have secret meetings. Even if you tried to kill the early Christians, they would still get together. By the way, I know we're talking so much about how wonderful China is today, and we're having the Olympics over there and everything else, but please understand this. China is not a friend of Christians. China is not an ally to Christians. There are Christians there that are suffering abuse. There have been churches that have been plowed over and people have been killed because that is not welcome in China. But you can't stop Christians from getting together. They will just get together even if you try locking them up and you let them out, they still get back together. You can't stop Christians from getting together. They already tried this in this country. It didn't work out too well, did it? So a Christian just wants to be with other Christians. So how often should you get together? Well, how much spiritual strength do you need? Living the godly life is about talking to God every day, listening to Him, loving your neighbor, loving those tough people that are hard to love, being completely obedient to God, living a holy life, living in God's presence all the time. And if you put all that together, it sounds a little overwhelming. Like, this is just too much. How can I do all this? Well, God's Spirit is going to give you the strength to do all that. But He's also given you spiritual support. And that comes from your spiritual church family. These are people that are struggling with the same things. And they're keeping each other strong. So we meet together each week. And you know one of the reasons we get together? Not only to worship, but to check on each other. So when we get together, you'll notice if you're gone for a few weeks, generally I try to check on you. I try to find and make sure you're doing okay. This is what we do when we get together. We ask, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Is anything going on in your life? Is there anything that you need us to pray about? If when somebody's away for a while, it causes concern. The church gets together not only to worship God, but to check on each other and to be a help for each other. So our challenge today, for the next 7 weeks, I want to challenge you to make it a priority to be here to worship every Sunday, to sing songs, to share communion, to give offering, to hear the Word of God, to pray together, and just grow close to this body of Christians. Now, if you're going to have to be gone for a Sunday, I'm going to have to be gone for a Sunday, that's fine. If you have to be gone, but just make it a priority to be here for the next 7 weeks. I realize that some people are not physically able to attend a worship service. Do you realize that there's many Christians out there stuck at home that would give anything just to be able to gather in worship? But if you're physically able, if you can go to Walmart, you can go to church, it's kind of my theory, you're not a part of a church family. Well, let me tell you something, you're missing out. You're missing out on necessary spiritual strength. I like to think of it this way. See, we're in a war right now. We are in a spiritual war right now, good and evil. And when we are not gathering with Christians, what we're doing is we're walking in the enemy territory and we have no support. We have nobody beside us to help us and to love us and to encourage us. So you got to get together. If you don't have a church family, then basically it's nearly impossible. I say nearly impossible to live the vibrant, growing Christian life. So to those people that attend regularly, that's pretty much everybody here, I want to remind you that there's more to worship than just sitting and listening. I want to remind you to use your mind to study, to use your voice to sing, to use your finances to give. And next week, we finish the whole series up with use your gift to serve. So if you're not a part of our body in an official way and you're already a Christian, you've already done what the Bible says to be saved, or been baptized. So what we want you to do is we want you to join us. We want you to become a part of our body in an official way. All you have to do is just come forward and just repeat after me. I do something like, do you believe, and you just repeat after me, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and my Savior. Basically, you just become a part of our body. And when that happens, that just basically lets us know who you are. It lets us know that we can love you, that we can be concerned about you, that we can help you. You can give us input, and you can join with us and help us serve. So our invitation today, let's all stand as we have our song of invitation. And the way that you know a bunch of Christians, you can find them real well, and you can see who they are, because they really do love each other. So let me have our prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for all these that are gathered. Lord, I'm thankful that they're all wanting to be close to you, and I pray, Lord, that you will bless this body of Christians here, Lord, that we will be there and will be a help to one another. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.